This is Easy Baby. Welcome to the Easy Baby Podcast with Dr. Mike, where we share practical tips and information to make the first months of your baby's life the best they can be.
Hello, moms and dads, and welcome to this, the first ever episode of the Easy Baby podcast series. I am Dr. Mike Marinus. I am a chiropractor with a special interest in family and pediatric practice, and I have a background in broadcast radio. I'm currently in practice in Johannesburg, and you are welcome to find out more information on that at www.marinuschiropractic.co.za. So I'm excited to be bringing my two passions of pediatric practice and radio broadcast together to talk to you about your new passion and the road ahead for your family. And along the way, we'll be giving you the tools and information from myself and other experts in the field of childcare to make these first precious months you get to share with your baby the best that they can be. Please keep in mind that the Easy Baby podcast is for reference only and should not take the place of your healthcare professional and his or her expertise in diagnosis and treatment when it comes to the health of your baby. So the first topic that we're going to cover is so big it literally needs two shows, and this is the first one. Let's dive right in. It only feels right to start with the one question that is on every new parent's mind, and that is, why does my baby cry? Now, as long as there have been parents, there have been babies, and as long as there have been babies, there's been crying. And navigating these first few weeks of babies crying can be daunting, but we're about to uncover some great information that, with understanding and practice, we can use to make decoding your baby's cries easier and give you the skills to uncover what it is that your baby is asking for. And the more you repeat this call and response cycle, the more you grow your parenting skill, and the more you avoid this dreaded disease of miscommunication that plagues so many new families. So let's start off right at the beginning. What is crying? Is it just a loud rush of air out of the lungs past the vocal cords that sends a shiver down your spine in the middle of the night? Is it a social behavior that has its roots in millions of years of evolution and has become so finely tuned as to create such powerful emotion in us adults that when we hear it, we can think of nothing but being immediately at that baby's side to soothe the discomfort? Is it perhaps even the beginnings of speech and the first step your baby takes in communicating with you? Well, it's all these things, and it's more. During the first few weeks of your baby's life, the majority of your parent-child relationship is going to be negotiated primarily around crying. He is going to constantly signal his needs to you, and this presents a wonderfully positive opportunity for both of you to bond with each other. When his cry tells you that he needs you, and you take in the character of his cry, the context in which he's crying, and the cues that he's giving you, you start to understand what it is he's asking for, and then you're able to act on this appropriately. And by meeting his needs, you complete the circle and the crying stops. Your baby relaxes, and you both have a hormonal rush that makes you feel amazing and connected. This cycle is how you and your baby learn to interact with each other and how he learns to interact with the outside world. And it is vitally important that you both go through this cycle again and again to develop a solid, ongoing relationship with each other. The act of crying itself is a much more complex action for your baby to master than it first appears. It involves the interaction of many neurophysiological processes and makes use of various different anatomical structures. So this starts with the limbic system of the brain, This is the part of the brain that deals directly with your emotions, and it processes crying. This then communicates with your heart and the lungs and vocal tracts and vocal cords, and all of these start to work together to produce this unique sound of crying. And because of this, because crying uses so many different areas and aspects of your body, the newborn baby's cry has been shown in research to be the most comprehensive way to tell what's going on inside that little body. It is an information superhighway, and it lets you know what is going on either inside or outside your baby. Is there too much? Is there too little? Something in the environment needs to be changed before baby can relax again. And if in this process you become worried that you are giving into your baby's cries too often and you are spoiling your baby within the first 3 months, you need to know that the only nerves that supply your baby's vocal tracts directly link to the part of that limbic brain that deals with baby's emotional state. So your baby's cry actually changes character depending on what he or she is feeling at that moment. And it's only around 8 or 10 months of age that babies actually start to realize that they have any control over their caregiver's response to their cries. And it's this understanding, this cause and effect understanding, which is necessary for them to start manipulating caregivers with their cries. Now, this is not to say that all cries are the same. In fact, it's been shown that babies even cry with different accents. And studies show that babies pick up their native accent way before they actually begin to talk themselves. And this means that not only is there evidence that shows that babies are able to pick up the flow of mom and dad's voice before birth, but they actually are able to reproduce that sound faithfully from about 3 days old. And if you think about it, it's just one of nature's little tricks to endear these little babies to us. Because what could grab your attention more than your baby communicating with you with the flow and drawl of your own accent? So that's great, but let's get to the why. Why do babies use crying of all methods to get our attention? And the answer to this is that crying has proved to be the simplest, easiest, and most effective form of communication available to human babies. Picture your little one before he's born. He has everything he could possibly need on tap. He's warm, he's comfortable, he's well-fed 24/7. And there are even those that think that a baby being removed from this environment at 9 months is way too soon. Some pediatricians talk about the first 3 months of a baby's life as being the fourth trimester. And they state that human babies should only really be born around 12 months of gestation. And they say that used to happen. But because of certain evolutionary changes in modern day babies and moms, it's no longer possible to do this. And these ideas are backed up by the massive developmental shift that babies make around 3 months of age. So let's look at the picture. We have now a baby that is undercooked. This baby is needy, and this baby is lacking in those social skills that are necessary to communicate effectively. Now, to top this off, that baby gets an eviction notice, and now baby is separated from you. Baby needs to find your attention, and he needs to get it now. But why does he use crying? So the ultimate reason that babies cry is that they simply do not have a choice. A newborn's vocal tract has been designed specifically and quite cleverly over millions of years to be able to allow babies to drink milk without gagging or choking. And this happens because initially the larynx, which is the organ that's responsible for speech, sits high up in the nasal cavity, kind of like a snorkel, and it allows babies to drink and breathe at the same time. Now, this is really important for a baby that's just learning to take liquid into its stomach, because at all costs, it's trying to avoid liquid going into the lungs. It's an evolutionary trait, and it dates way back to early air-breathing fish. They used to use the larynx to protect in feeding and swallowing. Now, at about 3 months of age, this larynx drops lower into the throat, which does make choking more of a concern, but by this stage, babies are pretty good little drinkers. And it allows for the next level of speech. These are the coos and the babbles that we've been waiting for. And all of this together means that even if babies had the mental capacity to communicate with us in any other way than crying before 3 months, they physically would not be able to do it.
Please feel free to contact the show at any time with questions you may have or even possible topics you would like us to cover in future shows. Email us at drmarinus@gmail.com.
Now, you get two kinds of mammals. Those who keep their babies in a nest while they go out and hunt, and those that carry their babies around with them. Now, we as humans are supposed to fall into the second group, although in Western culture, we tend to fall more and more into the first group. We're not designed to do this, and then we wonder why our babies cry. Moms whose babies are separated from them for long periods of time, moms in this first group, produce breast milk which is really high in fat and protein. And their babies are very good at keeping themselves regulated when it comes to heat. But with carrying mammals like us, we have breast milk which is low in fat and low in protein, and our babies need us to keep them warm. And babies of carrying mammals need to call out when they are separated from their mothers, because if they don't, they can't generate enough heat and they become hypothermic. So the obvious difference between us and other mammals is that other babies are mobile from birth, and human babies are stranded in this body that has a lot of long-term potential, but hardly any actual mobility in the beginning. So instead of moving to mom, human babies have had to devise a method of moving mom to them. And they do it via what's been called the audio umbilical cord. I love that. The voice. And this umbilical cord is so effective that it can cause a mom's milk letdown reflex to happen just by her hearing it. Now, I want you to think about that. Your baby's cry is so effective that it actually has a chemical and physiological effect on you from across the room. And that's huge. But for all its complexity, crying is still only as effective as the person who receives the message. And don't stress yourself out initially because you don't understand every single cry your baby utters. It takes time to tune into your baby's specific set of cries. It's like learning a new language. And like with learning a language, you only become fluent by spending time and spending energy. And a human baby's language is this robust and healthy cry. It is positive, life-affirming behavior from your baby. A loud, strong cry shows that your baby is healthy, that he has energy to burn, and that he's thriving. Crying is so important that some of the first points your baby will ever score in the Apgar test that they are given at birth, which checks how well they are doing just after they've been born, are for crying. And the louder and more robust that cry is, the more points they get. In fact, it's to the point that at birth, if your baby's cry is feeble or your baby's not crying, hospital staff become concerned about what's stopping the airflow through that respiratory pathway, because that can signal other serious problems. So not only does crying show us that baby is healthy and it sends mom and dad running, but it also has other intrinsic benefits for your baby. It's a great method that babies use to increase their lung capacity. Not that many of them need that. It gets the pulse rate going, it kickstarts the metabolism, And because of the amount of muscle activity crying causes, like we said just now, it directly generates heat. And how clever. Crying physically generates heat and calls mom or dad over for a lovely, warm physical contact. It's two birds and one evolutionary stone. There's even research that points to the fact that babies crying has evolved into what it is today from initially purely being a function of babies trying to generate heat because their moms were not there. So over the years, moms have evolved this understanding of that cry and understood that they were needed, and so began the cycle of crying and responding that we have today. But with many things in life that are good, there is a downside for too much. Too much crying can leave your baby depleted of energy and potentially with too little oxygen. So it's important for us to get in there and discover their need and sort these little ones out. So what? It's a bunch of accurate information, and that's great. But what makes crying so effective? When you become a parent, you undergo hormonal changes. Predominantly, there's an increase in a hormone called prolactin, which is known as the mothering hormone. And I'm not just talking about the moms. There's solid research that shows that even dad's chemistry changes to make us more sensitive to our baby's cries and invested in their well-being. Crying is so pinpoint that it even affects moms and dads differently. There are studies that show that moms tend to be more sensitive to hunger cries, and this makes more sense because moms are naturally equipped to provide for hungry babies, and dads, on the other hand, find pain cries more demanding of their attention because our job as fathers is to keep our families safe and protect our young. Because crying is so effective, you might be taken aback by the strength of your reaction to your child's cries. You may become overcome with how much emotion you feel when you hear that sound and it hits you in the pit of your stomach. The most normal, rational people can have the darkest thoughts when they are sleep deprived and when they are totally overstimulated themselves from constant crying. This is normal. It is natural, and it is nature's way of getting you to invest in the health of your child. So there are plenty of studies that show marked increase in stress hormones in new moms when they hear a baby's cry, and a higher spike in that stress hormone when it is their own child that's calling. So it's plain to see that too much crying, unfortunately, has a negative effect on the parent-child relationship. And if you start to perceive your child's cry as a negative experience and you find it's difficult to react positively to your baby, or you find you maybe start to pull away from him, it is not a sign of negative parenting, nor is it a sign of bad parenting. It just means that you've come to the point where you need a little help along the way. Not everybody can deal with hours and hours of crying. Some people's support structures are not as big as others, and sometimes you just need to get yourself out of that situation to get some perspective. Do it, and get yourself to a baby clinic for some advice. Get yourself to your general practitioner, your pediatrician, your chiropractor, wherever you go for someone to help you through this challenging time. Now, to understand the effects of crying, we need to go right back to the basics. In this world, you have got to make yourself heard. In most species of birds and mammals, the loudest of the litter or in the nest get the best food. Studies have shown that animals provide more to the louder offspring because these are the ones that are showing that they are the healthiest and they are the most deserving of the limited food on offer. And some species of animal babies have even been shown to exaggerate their need to make sure they get most of the resources. Now, take that information and put it against an English study that included over 12,000 children and showed the following. Colicky babies tend to grow quicker than non-colic babies. They tend to be bigger overall, and they tend to be more likely to be breastfed. Now, one way of looking at these results is that we could say these kids get more attention and they get more resources than the quiet kids. So what is it that is in this voice, this cry, that gives us so much information? I mean, after all, crying is just loud noise, right? How could it convey so much meaning? Well, the word infant literally means the speechless one. But just because they don't have words to explain themselves doesn't mean they can't convey their meaning effectively with their cries. And just like any other form of communication, because that's what crying is, it is 10% what you say, 90% how you say it. The meanings of these cries are wrapped up in the pitch, intensity, rhythm, and timing. And over the years, it's taken professionals from diverse worlds like developmental psychology, pediatrics, neurology, even engineering, to add to our understanding of how these subtle variations in your baby's cries allow him to convey these complex meanings across to us. Now, that is wonderful, but how do we use this to decode our baby's cries? You know, you get some people that are just really good communicators and some people that aren't. Well, babies are exactly the same. Some babies are able to create very distinctive acoustic features in the sound of their cries, and some are not. And a good example of this is premature babies, because they haven't developed to the point that they should, and they have a really tough time explaining their needs to us because their cries can be so difficult to decode. And to make matters even more challenging, sometimes caregivers can have a tough time interpreting what babies are trying to say. And this is really common because moms and dads, we're under big stress anyway, and if your baby is crying at you consistently, your decision-making process about each cry and what each cry means gets muddled, and especially at 3 a.m, no one is looking for cues, no one's trying to decipher anything, we're all just trying to get back to bed, and it's completely understandable. And that is why you need an action plan. And the action plan is what we're going to delve into in the next episode of the Easy Baby Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, if you find value in this podcast, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio so that we can help get our message out there to the moms and dads who need it. That is it from me. Thank you very much for downloading us once again, and I will catch up with you soon. Take care.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page for show updates and extra information on our show topics.